Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I heard of one young fellow who is really in a dilemma today. Quite a long time ago, he bought Super Bowl tickets, and then he came to realize that his fiance had scheduled his wedding for the same day and time today. So now he realizes he can't go. It's really out of the question. So if you would like to take his place, here are the relevant details. It's 5 o'clock this afternoon at Central Lutheran Church in downtown Minneapolis. The woman's name is Amanda. She'll be the one wearing the white dress. You know, even pastors can get into that Super Bowl fever. I heard of one Presbyterian church where the offering was approaching in the service, and the pastor, a real sports enthusiast, took a quarter out of his pocket, flipped it in the air, looked at it, and joyfully announced in referee fashion, "The ushers will receive." Enough of the Super Bowl stuff. Actually, it is only a game, and it pales in comparison with the important things of life. 3 days ago, I tended to a family in the windswept and beautiful snow-covered grounds of Fort Snelling Cemetery. The Super Bowl will be played only miles from that cemetery. But the family gathered that day will never remember who played in the Super Bowl or who won. They will always remember standing in the sun-drenched snow of Fort Snelling, headstones row on row. My own extended family will gather tomorrow at a small church in Illinois to bury a beloved cousin who gave her entire life to her church and to her employment at a university. That family will gather in the promises of Jesus Christ, not in the promises of Bill Belichick or Doug Peterson or Roger Goodell. My firstborn, a son, was born on Super Bowl Sunday in 1978. But as far as I can recall, that's the only part of the football story that I know. I don't know who played that day. I don't know who won or lost. But I still revel in every detail of a son born. The Super Bowl pales in comparison to the important things in life. Even this worship service is far more important than the Super Bowl, even though we gather in the hundreds rather than in the millions. Because at this worship service, you are offered the Holy One in word and song, in prayer, in the holy meal, in fellowship. You are reminded of the one for whom everyone is searching. As Jesus' custom is, in the gospel story for today, he is tending to the needs of the people around him. In this particular story, we are introduced to Simon Peter's mother-in-law who was sick with a fever. When Jesus hears this, he takes her hand and he heals her. He doesn't do this as some kind of great magic trick or because he wants people to love him more and more. He does it because he loves people. The evening would show us one of the first flash mobs. The word goes out not by electronics, but it goes out by word of mouth. And Mark reports that by sundown, the whole city is gathered at the door. They bring all of their sick, all of their demon-possessed. And again, out of his compassion, Jesus heals all those people. He doesn't do it to curry favor of the people or to show off his power. He does it out of love. So he heals. The very next morning, he evidently gets up before everybody else and goes out to a very lonely place, as is Jesus' custom after he has been pressed by people so that he can have a private time to pray. The disciples are worried about him. They hunt for him, the Bible says. When they find him, they say, "Everyone is searching for you." Why? Well, maybe everyone wants to get in on the action. Everyone wants to be by the celebrity who can heal with a touch. Or maybe they have yet one more family member they would like touched by this healer, Jesus. Maybe Jesus could use some of that Super Bowl security to keep the people away. But he does not gather his posse around him. Instead, he announces, "We're going to go to the next towns and do exactly the same thing." I heard a story about a man who filled gas in his car, paid for the gas, drove off, hadn't gotten a couple of blocks before he realized, "I forgot to put the gas cap back on." Back in the days when gas caps were not attached by idiot strings. He got out, certainly, yes, he had placed the gas cap on top of the car and it was gone. But he realized that, other people have probably done this, so they backtracked to the gas station, did not find their cap. He went inside, and surely enough, other people have done this too, and the attendant brought out a whole box of gas caps that had been collected over time. He found one that he was pretty certain would fit, went outside and had dusted it off, pushed it onto the filler tube, and it attached with that satisfying click. He got inside and told his wife, "Well, I didn't find our gas cap, but I found one that's even better." He added, "This one locks." Well, better until the next time you need gas. You know, some people are searching, and they are searching for just about anything. They'll take whatever comes along, even if it is something that needs a key that they don't have. Instead of searching for what is best, there is an author named Albert Camus who enjoyed tremendous popularity even while he was alive with his good writing. But all of the popularity and fame that he enjoyed left him empty. It is said that toward the end of his life, he attended the Christian church in Paris and had talked to the pastor about baptism. Said Camus, "I am searching for something that the world cannot give." Or the brilliant scientist Albert Einstein, whose crowning achievement was to complete a manuscript that would tell the theory of everything, that would unlock mysteries of the universe, and could even help us read the mind of God. Albert Einstein never finished that manuscript. In spite of his massive IQ, estimated in our day to be somewhere between 160 and 190, Einstein was never able to read the mind of God. Many of Einstein's contemporary scientists believed that the universe was evolving randomly. We who proclaim a creator God cannot believe that. Oh, we can believe in a universe that is continually evolving, but it is always evolving under the watchful eye of this loving creator God. To his scientific peers that argued for randomness, Einstein would respond, "God does not play dice with the universe." The disciples said to Jesus, "Everyone is searching for you." In my heart, I believe that everyone is searching for Jesus. Oh, they might not know that they are searching for Jesus. They might be a little bit like Albert Camus, who is looking for something that the world cannot give. Or they might be like Albert Einstein, searching for this magnificent theory that will unlock all the mysteries of the universe, even to read the mind of God, while at the same time knowing that God does not play dice with the universe. Jesus is still with us in this day. Jesus is still healing and proclaiming the message. Jesus is doing that through the Holy Spirit and through the likes of people like us. We are searching. Some here are searching this morning for one, perhaps one named Jesus. May that Jesus find you in the many and various ways that Jesus is offered through this worship service. Others here believe that we have completed that search years, maybe decades ago, and yet our quest for truth and love still continues. And if we believe that we have the answer to that search, then we are to be the disciples who assist others in their search so that when they are asking, we respond like the disciples, come and see, come and see. Jesus is here. Jesus is working through the Holy Spirit, even through the likes of us. Amen. Hymn 759, please rise.